My name is Mike Hutchins, Professor of Animal Sciences Emeritus here at the University of Illinois Champaign-Urbana.
All right. And we're talking about June, which has been designated Dairy Month for quite a while. And is there a specific reason why it is the month of June?
Yeah, June was picked primarily because back in the 1930s, in fact, I believe June Dairy Month started in 1937, most cows at that time were on pasture. And, of course, in the spring, lots of rain, lots of pasture, and cows produced lots of milk. So we discovered we had lots of milk. And as a result, to try to increase consumption of the milk and maintain better prices for milk, June was decided as Dairy Month to try to increase consumption of dairy products. Of course, it's grown now into a more looking at a better buys, showcasing dairy products, looking at new recipes, looking at new dairy products to feature, as well as also try to spur consumption.
Okay. Well, let's talk first from the producer side. How are things going for dairy producers?
Well, the bad news and good news is 2011 was a very good year for dairy farmers here in the United States, having very strong milk prices, and farmers were catching up. Those people listening will remember back 2007 and 8 were just were devastating years for dairy producers, losing huge amounts of equity. So 2011 was a catch-up year. As a result, we saw some increase in cow numbers and milk production per cow, and as a result, we have pretty high milk yields going on here in United States. Here comes 2012, and starting in about February and March, we start seeing milk prices declining, primarily because of the higher amounts of milk here in the United States, and also an increase in milk production coming from Australia and New Zealand, primarily New Zealand, because it rained in New Zealand. As your listeners would realize, remember that New Zealand still is a pasture-based system, so again, they're up 8 or 9% milk, and of course, they export over 80% of it, so that has had some impact on world markets, along with what's going on here in the U.S. So it's pretty tough times right now here in the U.S. for dairy producers. I mean, in most cases, they're producing below break-even. For example, in Illinois, we need about $18 milk. That's per 100 pounds to break-even. So as a result, we're seeing that price can be down around $15 or $16. The good news is that prices are starting to come back a bit here. Some of that has to do with heat stress, which, of course, is not good news for dairy cows or dairy producers, but also a little bit stronger milk market. And finally, of course, we're really watching what's going on in Europe. We all hear what's happening in Spain and Greece and Italy, and that all impacts basically the global marketplaces, and dairy falls into that group as well, which creates a little bit less demand. This last year in 2011, we exported close to 13% of our milk solid. So obviously, we are a big player in the world market. So anything that affects the world market affects the U.S. dairy price.
All right, and those exports expected to continue to grow?
We expect those exports to and grow primarily because we're seeing in countries such as India and China kind of that mid group of wage earners, which are looking for more variety in their products and looking for different sources of protein. And of course, dairy proteins are very popular source of an alternative protein source. So we think worldwide we're going to see increases in consumption, especially in those kind of countries in Pacific Rim, of course, where the demand will change and also they can pay for it. That's another one of the problems. Certainly, there's demand for dairy products in other countries, such as Africa. The problem is how do those countries pay for these dairy products that will be out there as well? So certainly, we think the world market is going to be out there. And the U.S., obviously, we're producing more than we can consume. We got to be players in that.
Okay. Well, let's talk about from the consumer angle when it comes to price. How are things looking for consumers right now for dairy products?
Well, right now, consumers are kind of in a honeymoon period because many marketplaces were seeing some fairly good buys in dairy products. I've seen, for example, here in Illinois, we've seen 2 gallons of milk for $5. That's a very good price. We've also seen butter prices at $2 a pound. So very good prices. And the good news, it appears, our processors are passing along some of those lower dairy prices they're paying to farmers to consumers. So certainly consumers are seeing some there. And, of course, with June Dairy Month coming, I think we'll see more of that because, again, stores will feature dairy products to encourage people to come into their stores to buy not only more dairy products, but other products as well.
Regardless of the price, high or low, what are consumers getting health-wise from dairy products?
Well, of course, the really carrot out there in dairy products, in my view, is calcium. We know calcium is a critical nutrient that's needed for all people. For example, we know for adults they need about 1,000 milligrams per day. That's going to take about 2 or 3 servings of dairy products to achieve that level of calcium. And as we get older, our bodies are less efficient at handling that calcium. And of course, we hear of osteoporosis as well. There's also some interesting research coming through on calcium in terms of diet and weight loss as well. The protein, of course, is another huge factor. Milk protein is extremely well balanced, and some of the whey proteins have some health pluses as well out there for the human side of the equation. And of course, an excellent source of B vitamins. So certainly, milk brings a lot of things to the plate. And of course, nowadays consumers can kind of dial in what they want for dairy products. Good examples that would be, of course, milk. We can look at no-fat milk, low-fat milks, full-fat milks, depending again what your flavors you want in your milk, what your dietary and caloric intake has to be. So dairy gives a kind of a wide range of products out there. Not only there, but we have our yogurts, our low-fat yogurt products out there. We have our cottage cheese products. So again, consumers can really dial in.
Well, it's always fun to see what consumers are favoring when it comes to certain, types of foods. And for dairy products in 2010, what were some of the numbers there?
Well, one of the real winners is flavored milk. Flavored milk was up almost 14%. And so it says people are looking at this. And, of course, the good news, this was a huge topic this last year with our school districts in which we're looking at flavored milk. And some of the very large school districts took flavored milk out because they didn't want the sugar in the milk and they didn't want the calories in the milk. Well, the good news, the dairy industry responded by putting together a chocolate milk that has much lower sugar content. And, of course, you can go with fat-free milk. So we're now seeing the flavored milk coming back in, and students, young students or young people really like the chocolate flavored milk. Also, chocolate milk picked up some pluses when it came to workouts as far as a rehydration agent, and we saw some of that on the ads looking at chocolate milk for athletes who are burning lots of calories or in various types of athletic programs from that aspect as well. Not to a big surprise, yogurt continues to increase in favor with about an 8% increase in consumption. And then the frozen yogurts, which are kind of a new kid on the block type thing compared to our traditional ice cream products, it too is increasing in popularity. So it certainly reflects, what consumers want in terms of calorie and flavor and cost, taste, and of course, in some cases, food recipes.
Now, this may not have been a big seller in 2010, which wasn't that long ago, but I'm seeing lots of news about Greek yogurt and what a big market share it's grabbing.
Yeah, and I think we're going to be seeing that coming out in the 2011 data. In fact, there's some plants out on the East Coast that are being built specifically for that. And, of course, here we talk about milk surplus. And out there, these new Greek yogurt plants are saying we can't get enough milk as far as that goes. So I think you're going to see, again, some movement. And, of course, that's what we are excited about in the dairy industry. Can we find some new products that are really going to capture the consumer's eye? Certainly, yogurt has been one of them. Obviously, pizza. We'd love to see another, quote, pizza product that utilizes, in this case, lots of cheese. And, of course, cheese is kind of our superstar. We consume almost 40% of our dairy products here in the U.S. as cheese. You would think we all drink our milk. Well, about 30% of our dairy consumption comes through liquid milk, and that has unfortunately dropped down a little bit. I think it reflects a little bit of the aging of the population and certainly other alternative beverages that are always going to be competitive with milk and dairy products. But the good news, we're pretty excited because a number of our fast food chains have also discovered that some of the low-fat flavored milks are very popular in kids' meals. So again, another wonderful outlet, hopefully, that we can see those kinds of products build.
Anything else you'd like to add?
No, I don't think so. I think the only thing I would add is going back to the producer side of the equation, that they're really getting squeezed on profits because, as we mentioned, milk prices are coming down, but feed prices have gone up. And feed prices make up almost 55 to 60% of the cost of producing milk. So we see the price of soybeans going up because Argentina has had a drought or very low rain production, and corn prices remain high because of ethanol production, and certainly we're not sure where the future is going to be. we really get squeezed pretty tightly at this point. So when we look at in 2012, 2013, certainly the price of milk is one factor, but also, of course, is feed prices. And, of course, much like most consumers, they look at the price of gasoline, so do dairy producers, because obviously they have a high energy requirement in terms of utilizing their trucks and tractors when producing that dairy product.